Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, a children's moment from our youth pastor, Justin Livingston, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor, Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m. and in our parking lot for our drive-in service at 11:30 a.m. here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship here with us today. It's a great Sunday morning to be together here as a church family. So welcome you all who are here inside of our sanctuary. Welcome our friends who are joining us on Facebook Live and through our church website. It's great to have us together as a church family, wherever we find ourselves here. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and so we give thanks and praise for the Holy Spirit moving in our life, moving through us here together, and bringing us as a church family wherever we find ourselves this morning. As we have gathered for worship, for those of us inside of our sanctuary, we invite you to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in. And on the right-hand side, you'll find our tear-off sheet that says Connect at the very top. So we invite you to tear it off now and fill it out and connect with us by letting us know that you were here this morning for worship. On the back side, you can jot down prayer concerns or praises that you have in your life. And you can also check one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about getting involved in the life and ministry of our church. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plates that will be located outside the sanctuary doors following our worship service today. For our friends who are joining us virtually, you are invited to go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org, and there you can download a copy of today's worship bulletin, and you can follow along with worship today. You can also let us know if there are things that we can be praying for in your life, and so we invite you to reach out to us if you are at home or at work. And we also invite you to have the elements of communion there, as we'll have communion later on in our worship service this morning.
Experience, he is it. separate. Even if I ran away, your love never fails. Though I still make mistakes, you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. I'm not alone here in this open sea. Your love never fails. The cares of me far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails.
Let us pray. A loving and gracious God, we're so thankful that your love never fails us, that your love envelops us and cares for us and offers us grace and peace. We pray, O God, on this Pentecost Sunday that your Spirit will fall upon us once again, make us and mold us and shape us into the kind of people that you would have us to be. We offer our lives and the service of worship to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. We invite you to be seated, and as you're doing so, we invite the young kids of our church to come down forward and meet Pastor.
Good morning. How are we doing today? Right. All right. Well, good morning. Have a seat, Hunter. Welcome. Hi, Riley. Everybody sit down. I brought something kind of fun with me today. I brought a balloon. What do you think of? Well, I'm not going to blow it quite yet. That's an important part of the lesson, though. Well, just a minute, okay? I actually have a helper who's going to help me with blowing it. What do you think of when you see balloons? What do you think of? Parties? Okay. All right. I'm not even really sure what to do with this. Okay, kind of like Rudolph's red nose, right? What else do we think of with balloons? Anything else? Parties, Rudolph's red nose, clowns, yes. And sometimes clowns have those long skinny ones, right? And they fold them up into animals, right? Somebody, do you have an idea? What do you think of with balloons? Somebody after first service mentioned water balloons, which we didn't even think of in first service. Water balloons are so fun. At our house, we also have a game where we try to, with a filled up balloon, we try to keep it off the ground and hit it back and forth and not let it hit the ground. We call it keepy uppy at our house too. I didn't know that was a universal name. Oh, that's from Bluey. Okay. I'm being so educated. Okay. I thought that was just our weird name for it. You learned it from Bluey. Okay. Yes. Yeah, so we love to play keepy uppy. It's where we keep it off the ground. We hit it back and forth. There are so many fun things to do with a balloon, either at a celebration or on just a regular, boring old day, right? So look at this balloon I'm holding. It's a very nice balloon. It's a pretty color. It's nice and red, but it's missing something. What is it missing? Hang on. Let me see if somebody who hasn't said anything. Yeah. What am I missing in my balloon? Air. I'm missing air, yes. And so what it needs its air, and without air, a balloon just sort of lays here, and that's not really what it's supposed to do, is it? Just a minute, okay. A balloon is not supposed to just lay there. It's meant to be filled with air. So before a balloon can do anything fun, it has to be filled with air. Something has to breathe some life into it, right? And so I think this balloon can help us learn a little bit about church. Today is a special day in church called Pentecost. You'll see that we have red kind of banners up along the front of the church. Many people in the church are wearing red today. You are, surely. Absolutely. And I should be, but I couldn't find my red today. Pentecost is a special day when God sent his Holy Spirit. And the people that received that Spirit, they felt this rush, almost like a wind. Almost like a wind. And so we can kind of think about that a little bit, because when the Spirit came as a wind, it breathed new life into the church, just like we need some life in this balloon. So I'm going to have my helper here. She is going to put a little bit of air in there. We brought our special balloon pump with us today. Put some air in there. Thank you. So God breathed his Holy Spirit into the church and gave it a little bit of life. And before God sent his Holy Spirit, the church was lifeless. What are we doing? Okay, sorry. So we're going to put a little bit of more air in there. People began telling everyone about Jesus once they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to stop. It didn't even matter. This is the amazing part. If they spoke the same language. On that day in Pentecost, everyone spoke different languages, but as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they understood each other. They understood the word about Jesus. They understood, and they were so excited that thousands of people, keep on filling, thousands of people were joining the church. The church became alive with the Holy Spirit. Keep on going. The church became alive and doing the things that God commanded. So now we're going to try to tie it off, okay? Now, just as the balloon was filled with air, just as it had to have some life breathed into it, our church has life breathed into it through the Holy Spirit, through the rush of wind on Pentecost. And so you and I need the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we can be all that God calls us to be. Let's pray together. Dear God, fill us with the Holy Spirit. We give you thanks for Pentecost Day, that day when your Holy Spirit rushed like the wind over that place so that all could hear and understand the word of Jesus. We pray, thanking you that so many gathered in the church and were joining the church. We pray that we would be filled with the Spirit as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Real quick before we go, this morning there is children's church for children up through second grade. There is no jump for the summer. So if you're in children's church, you may go ahead and go on out.
I'm bringing in a brand new song. I'm ready to see the unthinkable. I'm ready for a miracle. Hearts praying for a fresh encounter. Souls looking to the living God. I'm ready for a real revival. Oh, Holy Spirit, come like a fire, like a fire. Holy Spirit, fall in this place, fill our hearts. Holy Spirit, come like a fire, like a fire. Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. From the edge of the new we know you have so much more. We're looking to a new horizon. We're praying for your rain to pour. An overflowing of true redemption. An overflowing of your kingdom. I'm ready for a real revival. Oh, Holy Spirit.
This morning, as we come together in a time of prayer, we do lift up a few of our church families. We lift up the church of the family of Joe Phillips, who passed away in this past couple of weeks. We pray for Wanda Phillips and for their extended family as well. We also pray for the family of James Luther as he passed away this week as well. And so we carry those concerns, those prayers for families, as well as all of the others that we know in our hearts as we go together in prayer. Let us pray. O God, like a fire, fall upon us in this place today. O gracious, mysterious God, you are the God of the wind, the God of spirit, God of mystery. We pray that you would continue to invade our spirits with your powerful spirit. For in that one day long ago, in that powerful Pentecost moment, all the confusion of languages was unscrambled and all who were present were able to understand. However you come, O God, whether in the wind or whether in silence, we need your help. Bring to us and to our world Pentecost moments when the many various peoples of the earth, representing different cultures and languages, when they would hear one another with clarity and understanding and unity. Even those of us who use one common language often misunderstand one another. We use words in our culture to spin stories that seek to accomplish our ends, to hide and conceal truth, to impose our truths on others. We refuse to listen to the truth of others, and we forget your promise that the truth will set us free. Save us from our selfish, inward-focused ways, and bring us Pentecost moments of truth and connection with others. We bring before you those whose lives include stress, dread, illness, or hardship. We pray for the many worldly events that need your healing balm to fall afresh on them. We pray for those who are suffering and struggling through the war in Ukraine. Spare innocent lives and heal the lives that have been destroyed. We pray for the community of Uvalde, knowing that their heartbreak will never end, but we pray that the people of the community will know your love and peace and will be comforted by your presence during this time. We pray for the various other communities throughout our country who are also healing following tragic shootings. God, we pray that you would heal the human family, heal those who are hurt and broken and can't bear their pain. Heal those whose bodies are ill or broken. Be with our friends, loved ones, and co-workers who are in need of our healing. We leave our concerns and stresses in your hands, God of comfort, and pray that you would help us to continue to relinquish them when we try to take them back and make them our own concerns. Oh God, we give thanks for the many ways which you bless us and provide for us daily. But above all, we give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who offers us eternal life and freedom. We pray that we would accept those gifts anew each day. Be with us now as we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning we open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and we hear these words from Paul beginning in verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed.
The word before us today is all about the Holy Spirit. Of all the days, all the seasons, all the times that we celebrate together as a church family, today is like national, worldwide, happy Holy Spirit kind of day. But maybe you're like me. I mean, maybe you've heard about the Holy Spirit, we've talked about it together, but you're not quite sure how to put your finger on the Holy Spirit. I mean, in fact, if we were to think about the God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, if we were to think about them like some kind of family full of brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit would show up at the bottom of the barrel as in like the youngest child there. I mean, it's like this. I mean, we know that God gets all kinds of attention, so it's almost like God is like the firstborn child. Because of this, we know that the firstborn child, that child's baby book is full of pictures and notes. Every answer in like the firstborn child's baby book, every question there is answered. The baby's first words, when they took their first steps, how often they went to the doctor, all those kinds of things. There are pictures all over Facebook and social media everywhere. The firstborn gets most of the attention in the family. And so it is for God with us. Jesus is like a close second. Like the second child of the family. For the second child, the baby book is still there, purchased and filled out, but just a little bit filled out. There are still some pictures, a few notes, some words about first steps and like first notes, but not as much as that firstborn child. Because by that time, usually the mom or dad is way too sleep deprived to fill it out or remember where it is there in the house. They're simply trying to survive when that second one comes. But by the time that third child comes around, then all hope is lost. New parents are no longer playing man-to-man defense. Now they're playing zone defense whenever the third child comes around. In between the feedings and the diapers and the other kids running around, parents are doing their best not to lose their children, much less write down first steps and first words. Years later, decades later, that youngest child may ask the parents, where's my baby book? Where are my notes? And where are recollections about things that happened in my life? And good, honest parents are like, how about the weather today? We'll take a cookie. How about let's change the subject into something else? Though that last child is no less important, by the time he or she comes along, there is so much going on, sometimes the little parts of life get forgotten. It's like that for the Holy Spirit.
We can feel God. We can see God in creation all around us. We can look up to the stars and the skies there in heaven, and we can see God's fingerprints in all those galaxies light years away. The trees and the birds and the grass. We can sense the presence of God filling us and giving us life every single day. We can read about Jesus there in the scriptures. We can listen for his voice. We can see how Jesus treated people and loved people. We can try to put his ways into practice. And with Jesus, we have some kind of a blueprint, some kind of working knowledge. But the Holy Spirit, harder to understand. I mean, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is like breath and wind and movement. I mean, sometimes the Holy Spirit is like a dove. I mean, these are marks of the Spirit, but it is harder to comprehend. Pentecost today is this day that is trying to help us out. I mean, usually on this day, we hear this great old story where the disciples were all together in one place. It was after the resurrection, and they were trying to carry on and continue the message of Jesus Christ. In fact, over these past few weeks in our next sermon series, we were talking about some of the stories after the resurrection of how the disciples became the apostles and how they carried on the message. And so now on Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, the story says, the Bible says, this huge wind came blowing in, and with it came like fire. It was like the color red everywhere. And the Bible says that fire landed on the head of each one of those disciples. And it gave them the ability to go and speak in languages they could not speak in before. Like Spanish and French and Japanese and Greek and English. Like the Spirit gave them the ability and told them to go and take this new ability. Go and take these languages and tell others about Jesus Christ. The Spirit said, go and share the message. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. That's what Pentecost is all about. But in our lives, it never gets much attention. I mean, we don't talk a whole lot about it. We mostly hang out with God and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is like a tag along behind. But today's the Spirit's day. And so with this, we heard this reading from the Apostle Paul today, and it's like a challenge. Paul is giving us this challenge to have the Holy Spirit infiltrate and affect every part of our life. In fact, hear it again. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit are in fact children of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry out, Abba, Father, it is that same Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that we suffer with him so that we can be glorified with him. What Paul's saying here is that what this means is that we are all a part of God's family. It is the Holy Spirit coming into our life and making us a family in Jesus Christ together. Brothers and sisters, cousins and siblings, aunts and uncles, all of us together by the Spirit are a family in faith together. It's like that time when I was a kid and we went to this family reunion on my mom's side of the family, and we were way down in Central Texas in early June, like about this time of the year, where in Central Texas it is already 157,000 degrees right now and down in Lockhart, Texas. But we were there just south of Austin with my grandparents and my mom and my dad and my brother and my uncle and aunt and like a few cousins. And so we were on this dirty, dusty road, and we pulled into this old VFW there in Lockhart, Texas, and we walked into the building for this family reunion, and we walked in, and I didn't know a soul inside this building. Not a single person was recognizable. They gave us all name tags, and they said, we are all related because we're family together. At least my name tag said that we are related together, but we are all relatives at this reunion together. Paul says it's like this. Because of the Holy Spirit, we are adopted as a family together. You and me and the people we love and even the people that we don't like and everybody in between, we are a family in Jesus Christ together. And so because of this, Paul says, we're called to be led by the Spirit, called to let the Spirit move us
and shape us into the kind of people that God needs us to be. And so it's hard to nail down. It's hard to figure out the Spirit, and it's hard to nail down what God needs from us. Well, because that's the case here today, I've got three signs, like three little markers for us about how we can find the Holy Spirit moving in our life. The first one is this. If the Holy Spirit is guiding our life, then we take the words that Jesus gave us in the Lord's Prayer and we actually put them into action. We take "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven" that we say every single Sunday in worship, and we put it into practice. We do this because it happens to all of us, like every single one of us. We get this amazing idea for our life and our family, and we are so convinced that it is what we are supposed to do and where we are supposed to go. We are so convinced it is great that we get started on it right away. Instead of beginning with prayer and asking God about what we are to do, instead of calling for God to show us His will and His desire for our life, we jump right in instead of asking for the Spirit to shape us from the beginning. That's the first challenge from Paul. The second mark is this. Once we have prayed and we have sought God's desire and moving in our life, we have to actually allow God to move us forward. A couple years ago, I was reading this study about these two researchers from Harvard, and they studied like 20,000-something people, asking them about tendencies in their life and changes that they have experienced in their life. And so the study found that majority of people underestimate how much life will change going into the future. The study said that most people believe that who they are today is pretty much who they're going to be in the future, even though so much has changed in the past. I mean, so as a church and as people of faith, we spend loads of time looking backwards about what we have done and where we have been. But in the Bible, God calls us to move forward. I mean, after the resurrection, Jesus tells the women, "Go and tell somebody." On Pentecost there, the Holy Spirit says, "Go and tell somebody what God is doing." I mean, we're called not to be like people stuck in a rowboat, staring at where we have been, so impressed by our wake in the past that we don't allow the Spirit to move us forward. That's the second mark of the Spirit. It moves us forward together. The last little mark here is that since we are adopted by God together, we find ourselves praying for and caring for others more. We take what Jesus says and we love our neighbors. We even love our enemies, not just those in faraway countries, but even those with us today. We pray for each other and we care for each other as family. I mean, there's a reason why when people come to join our church, we always say, "Welcome to the church family." Whenever a new baby is dedicated in the life of our church, and I'm doing my best not to make that baby cry as I'm holding the baby for a minute and walking up and down the aisle, I always kind of whisper to the baby, "Welcome to the family." I mean, that is what we are together, a church family. But the thing about our church family is that we didn't choose each other. You started coming here because maybe you liked worship, maybe you liked something else about it, maybe somebody invited you, and once you came, you didn't get to choose the people who were already here, just as you may not have chosen your own family, your brothers or your sisters. Some of them, maybe you would choose to be in your family. Others, maybe not so much in life. But we're still a family together. And so when the Holy Spirit moves in our life, we can feel it by the care we offer, by the love we show to our family, because we are adopted as God's people together. See, that's what it's like when the Spirit moves for us. It's hard to nail down. It's hard to define and put our finger on it. But the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us into more Christ-like lives, not just for our own benefit, but for each other, as people of faith together. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for your Holy Spirit. that comes to show us the way, that fills us even here and now, and which embodies your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that your Spirit, the Advocate, will come again upon us here this morning. Shape us into more Christ-like people. Help us to put your love and grace and forgiveness into practice. For we offer our lives to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.